Someone that you all know and love, Mr. David Simpson of the True Money Show, who can't do a True Money Show today because it's the first trading day of the month and he's got to get busy acting all tradery and stuff. But he could be on the telephone with us here this morning on Wisdom Wednesday. Mr. Simpson, we're all suffering mightily today under this horrific set of thunderstorms. So I'd say a beautiful top of the bright morning to you, but it's not a beautiful top of a bright morning. You know, today's weather is almost kind of like what we're experiencing elsewhere.
Yeah, I was waiting on the phone so patiently to talk to the King dude, and all of a sudden it all went black and dark, and I tried calling in three more times. It was busy, so you guys are getting zapped every now and then, apparently. But I'm back, and you're back.
Yes, we're back in the New York route.
So you're gonna have a little Congress reunion today, huh? I mean, is Brother Andre coming on later too?
Brother Andre is coming. Yes, we'll have a reunion of sorts. It's only been what three days.
We're all missing each other. Come on.
Well, that's part of the point of having these events and people getting together face to face and then meeting one another. And then you know, one of the comments, I guess the most frequent comment that I've gotten is, gosh, everyone was so nice. Everyone was, everyone was so attentive, and we're acting with goodwill and what have you. I'm thinking, well, that's what men and women of goodwill do. They actually act like it.
People who have a faith, even if it's taken short route like it has in my life. I mean, I struggle every day to become just a centimeter better, Mike. You know how hard it is. But anyway, yeah, people who've even just taken on this commitment to be faithful when they get together, you can see it in the love of their lives, right? I took as an indicator one of the things from the Congress, and I told this somebody last night in a text, and he was kind of making fun of it, but I really do. So I got emotional several times at the Congress. I had three or four men cry on my shoulder, and it has to mean I haven't felt this much society, this much love, this much community in so long. I'm just happy to see it alive in my nation, right? I mean, I took that as a real indicator of a success.
So you had guys crying on your shoulder?
Yeah, more than I think I remember three, and I think it might have been four or five. But like I said, including me, because I got emotional a few times just throughout the weekend.
So now, was there anything particular there, or they were crying on your shoulder for joy?
Yeah, I mean, just you know that the event moved them, that that they have hope, that. That they can't believe that there are other people out there that are concerned and worried. I mean, you name it, the whole gamut of what would you say? I don't know, this sense that something's been lost but can be regained, I guess.
All right, now, David, what do you make then of what I was reporting on and talking about the first hour and a half? And that is that the bad guys are the evil guys are in charge, and this is their moment, and they're throwing all in. They're not backing off. They're not backing down. Now we have them out there basically threatening, we're going to use bigger carrots and sticks, but you're going to get the jab. Now they've dropped it down. First they went, okay, we want to vaccinate 18-year-olds, 18 to 24-year-olds. That wasn't good enough. Now we want to vaccinate 12 to 18-year-olds. That's not good enough. Now we want to vaccinate 6 to 12-year-olds. That's not good enough. Now Pfizer was applying to the FDA to let them vaccinate 2-year-olds with their sights set on 6-month-old.
Incredible. Well, when I was having dinner Saturday night, Keith. What's Keith's last name?
Jones.
Jones. Okay, I was going to say Young, but that was where we ate. Keith Jones pulled up a little chart of the vaccinations from like 1965 to 1980 to 2000. And, of course, it was three or four on the 65 list. It was 12 on the 80 list. And then there's 106 now or something. I don't know how many there are. It was a bunch, though. So let's just add one more to the thing. No, Mike, there's no doubt that in large measure, this is mostly a power play and a pure, I mean, what you and I talk about all the time, and I don't know that sometimes it gets, it, the translation goes across the airways for people to see that it has real consequences to human beings at the ground level. But this them flexing their muscles, this attempt to basically strangle the last vestige of the sense of moral and responsible freedom, you know, and that's what it's all about. And by the way, our side suffers from this, it's a mental disorder, I think, on our side, where we actually have become very distrustful of people in leadership and therefore, and also some of the people who've broken the moral vows. We become so distrustful of everyone that we kind of say, hey, leave the status quo powers as they are. We don't want to be revolutionary. We don't want to overthrow things. We can't assert ourselves beyond our own limits, et cetera, et cetera. I tried to make reference to this in my talk, but I don't think it really was translated very well because it really wasn't the main theme of my talk. But I quoted Guerrero Navarro early and said the Pope himself has said that we as individuals are supposed to be have free and untrammeled action. In other words, as individuals and families, the basic disposition of our being should be that we are free and have and can have untrammeled actions. We're not supposed to be interfered with, in other words, as a general rule. And somehow or another, that concept, at least in the Catholic circles, is we're fearful of it. And I can't really get it through my mind as to why, other than they don't trust our moral responsibility. In other words, they think everyone's going to go off the rails and start elevating ourselves a little bit and start acting all free and everything. And I'm thinking, well, that's just a condition. That's just a reality. That might happen. But I'm willing to trust the individual with their own intellect and with their own spiritual devotions much more than I am the completely agnostic and atheistic beings that currently run us. Why would I trust the current power mongers who have no faith and no belief system over you and me and everyone else out there at Congress when I saw a great deep devotion and love of God? I'd rather trust the latter than the former.
Well, I don't know if I got this right last night, but when I sent my note out to the group, and it was a little long-winded, just a little bit. The first thing I did was get back to something that you had said to me on Sunday when I said we did it. You're going to like, no, we didn't do it. They did it. So I don't know if you got a chance to read it. So I started all Crusader Knights. Well, they did it. St. Joseph and our Blessed Lady's gentle yet wise guiding hands led us through all the events of the first ever Upon These Rocks Crusader Congress. You know, I can stop right there and say that, well, if they were leading it, good things must have come out of it, Mr. Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, look, there's no doubt. And I wasn't trying to be persnickety or contentious.
I didn't think that you were. I took it. Again, I always pray for the Holy Ghost gift of counsel. So I don't take when somebody tells me something like that. I always just go like, all right, you asked for counsel. That's counsel. Some counsel's good. Some's not. some of you may want to go, yeah, I'm not deflating my tires to drive through the snow. That's...
Yeah, so, no, it was, I have the Upon These Rocks Congress program sitting on my desk here. I've got some more work yet to do to follow up on some of the propositions that I made and people who have interest in these things. By the way, let me stay on that vein. Hey, guys, you might want to give me $5,000. I want to raise some capital, and I want to create something that we can support the good guys with. And so anybody who has a business idea in the crusadery type of vein, I want small business. I want capital widely distributed. I want all these things we talk about on the True Money Show and all these things we talk about with Joseph. It doesn't matter who it is, Joseph Pierce and Franklin Sanders and all the wonderful guests that we've had and great wisdom and inspirations we've got from other people. I want to put a little flesh on the bone. And so I made a pretty bold demand. Hey, everybody give me a grand. Everybody, 100 people give me $5,000, right? I'm going to go forward with that because there was enough interest to really do it. But no, I don't think there's any doubt that that there was definitely some inspiration in the idea of the Congress. You always have a great way of articulating some fundamental ideas in very, I wouldn't say popular, like pop psychology type way, but in a way that gets translated very easily into the popular mind. And so I think everyone who even heard the name Upon These Rocks they know what we're talking about. We're living in a wasteland, but you can build upon even the rocks in the wasteland. And it's such a wonderful idea. We all kind of got together, picked up our pebbles, and said, "Yeah, I can bring this rock up there, Mike. Where do you want me to put it?"
But you can't build upon people that have, by contrast, rocks in their heads. Upon those rocks, you can build nothing. David Simpson, host of the True Money Show, and a co-founding father here at the Crusade Channel, and one of your hosts of the Upon These Rocks Crusader Congress on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Let me ask you, what will you call your fund? Do you have a name for it yet?
I'm kind of playing with Crusader Investment Club right now, but
I like that.
I might amend that to, I don't know. So right now, what I'm doing is, besides I sketched out, so I made about 8 or 10 propositions of what the fund was going to do. I'm fleshing out all the details so I can send that out to everyone so they'll have kind of a semi-perspective on this thing. I don't want to get too formal, because that was kind of one of the other themes is, we don't need rules. All these things that they make to put chains around our neck are actually meant to keep us from fighting them. We're going to act like free human beings. We're going to gather together willingly, lovingly, put together our efforts and make a difference. And so right now I'm fleshing out all the details. I pretty much have that side done. The only thing I have left to do before I announce it, I'll probably send an email to your crowd, the Pony's these Rocks email list, and then do a show on it next Wednesday. The only thing I have to also do is to get the, I hate to even use the word because I don't really know if I want one, but the legal formulation, like what's it going to be, how's it going to be constructed? Do I need a business entity? Do I not? Can I operate as a partnership, limited partnership? What do I have to do? So I'm working on that idea now. I'm going to formalize that. And like I said, probably announce next Wednesday, in between now and next Wednesday, go back out to the group and say, okay, all you people said you're interested, let's start putting our checks where our interests are.
I think you're going to. I think you're going to be surprised, and I think you're going to get some response. Let me just go back to the email that I sent out last week, because I want, if people didn't get it, and people didn't come to the Congress and aren't signed up, then they wouldn't have got this. But that doesn't mean that they don't need to hear it. So I also wrote last night, and I'll put this on the website at MikeChurch.com and add up on these rocks. We'll start cataloging these things. I pray that by Sunday's ending quorum and council, quite possibly the only one of its kind since the NRA councils, which Chris Ferraro told us about, of the 1860s, you were able to see through the fog of doubt our elite ruling masters spins for the malleable rubes they propagandize and subjugate. That is, nothing can be done but to work inside the system for reform and to continue voting, hoping, and coping. No, with your own eyes, you saw that it is possible to responsibly step outside their system and begin to restore the building blocks of the former systems of Christendom and choose a government that honors God's rights under Christ our King. Again, that's pretty simple. This is not complicated stuff here.
Yeah, but even though it's not, Mike, and by the way, I tend much more to your way of thinking than I do. But on that issue, there was clearly a delineation between several people who spoke and also some people that I spoke with. And so like you can see a variance even, let's say, between a Ferrara and you, or between a brother and me, and so on. And I think it's just, I think one, it's their state in life. If you're religious, obviously you take the vow of obedience at a higher stead, right? Because you actually have one. If you're a legalist, and me and Ferraro would fall into that thing, we tend to respect law. And as a respect for law, we don't want people all getting crazy saying, hey, I don't have any regards to law and the standing order and all these other things. And I get that. Okay. And all that. But I think we have to come out of our microcosm of belief. In other words, we got to come out of our individual places and go to a high ground and look down at the reality of things. And the reality of things that I think justifies your position as being the closest to the mark. Not, again, you wouldn't. I don't think you're advocating everyone get rocks and run down the street and throw through the windows. I don't think you're advocating that. I know what you're advocating. You're saying, hey, you have a family, right? You've been running and ruling your family, whoever you are, for 25 years, let's say. And you know what moral leadership looks like, and you ain't seeing it anymore. And so all you're saying, all I'm saying, all every human being who's a father or a mother would say is, well, I don't want to go along with those apes who are pretending to have moral leadership but acting all immoral, and so I'm going to just walk a different path. I think that's what you're saying, and I see it. And here's why, and I said it in my talk, it's pretty simple. I'm not intending anything evil. I'm trying to do that which is good and God-inspired. I know God's law. I know the intermediate authorities above me are not applying God's law. They don't even pretend to anymore. They don't even use his name anymore. I think they probably get offended to put their hand in the Bible to swear to do it. I mean, at this point in time, if you can point to your mayor, your governor, anybody up the chain, and say that person is an immoral degenerate, and they generally are,
yep,
and you say, and they're not following God's law, say, I'm going to follow God's law. It's as simple as that. And the superior takes precedence over the inferior, and God's obviously the highest superior. That's all. That's all we're really saying. And I don't think it's revolutionary. I don't even think it's controversial.
It's not revolutionary, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be controversial. Let me follow up with, okay, what did I say? What did I write to all of you that came to the Congress last night? Check your email because it's there. So I gave the acts that we actually did, and that was like, you guys got up and made your propositions, two of them passed, et cetera. So I conclude thus, and I think this is important. You people need to stop chatting in the chat room, put the damn keyboard down, okay? I'm going to go Madea on your asses and pay a freaking attention. Listen. The last decade's RFRAs were benign attempts, not made under God's laws, but by an ersatz authority of we the people. They have all failed. All of them have failed to withstand Mordor's courts, cowards as legislators, and diabolical assaults by corporations. Our acts are different, for they legislate beyond these entities' control inside the kingdom of each family. So, the RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, they all failed. As a matter of fact, in Indiana was repealed by Mike Pence himself, for heaven's sake. You cannot escape this immoral, this debaucherous cesspool that has occupied and is occupying every public institution and private institution that there is outside of the ones that say, by definition, that they have not occupied it. That way is a dead-end trap, and it is guaranteed to fail. And you are risking the eternity of your children if you disagree with that. If you go along with them, well, then God help you, and God love you, because you're going to need it. You are going to freaking need it. So enough of this petty bickering and arguing. Well, I think this way. You better get it right inside your family. You better start working on it right now, because they're not taking any coffee breaks. They're not taking. No, go ahead, David.
But that was one of the most refreshing things. I mean, one of the most inspiring things to me. You're going to think this is just so trivial, but maybe you won't. Maybe you'll say, "Oh no, Dad, I really get it." So, like when we did the roll call, especially the first day when we first heard the names of every kingdom, right?
Right.
And the people stood up and said, "Present, name their kingdom and whatever else." And some of them were funny. Some of them were more profound statements, whatever else. But each time the name of their society, and basically, let me clear this up for anybody who might not understand. So basically what we're saying is a head of a family showed up at this conference, and the head of the family came and he gave his name and said, I'm going to put my name on the line to be part of upon these rocks, a new legislature for the future of our country, a new Christendom. And each one of those heads of families and little personal legislatures came in representing their kingdom, and their kingdom was their home.
That's right.
The man's home is his castle, right? And what was so moving to me was that each one of those little kingdoms was very, very proud of themselves.
And they should have been.
And it hearkened to small is beautiful. All I could think about was small is beautiful. We've got this monstrosity sitting upon us, right? And it's ugly. It's disgusting. It's debaucherous. It's immoral. We need to just take all the Lilliputians, need to throw that whatever Gulliver off of their back, right? And say, I'm proud of my little Christland, and you're proud of Kinglandia, and Wally is proud of Wally World. And I thought that was beautiful.
Wally was proud of Wally World. Even though everyone got a chuckle out of it. Still, David Simpson on the Doomaker hotline here with us. I mean, David, look, to me, okay, there are a couple of highlights. Number one, the debates were highlights to me. The presentation, you guys getting together in your circles, that was a highlight. Another highlight, Tim Williams calling a roll and people responding by kingdom. You know, people thought that, well, that's just Mike's silly little way of trying to make us all act like LARPers, live-action role-playing people that we really aren't. No, it wasn't. It most certainly was not. It was to put you in the correct frame of mind that these people that exercise this illegitimate authority do not have God's permission to do so. It is not a just extension of an authority, and therefore you are not bound to obey. And you are certainly not bound to conscript or have your children conscripted in it. Why is this so difficult to understand, Mr. Simpson?
Well, I think it's because we're a bit, you know, you played My Dinner with Andre as lead-in earlier on, and he talked about this kind of ongoing schizophrenia that we all have. And it's because we want to obey law. We want to love our authorities. We want to have, in other words, those are actually good things. That's why the people who try to push those a little bit stronger than maybe they should are doing it. In other words, they say, hey, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't disregard all authority. You can't throw out law just by throwing out illegality. Don't throw out the lawfulness of the thing. And all of that, you and I would assent readily assent to, we agree to. It's just a matter of degree as to where we're willing to kind of draw that line, I guess. And I really do believe we're at a point where, I hate to say it because it sounds a little bit maybe overly libertarian or something. I think we're at a point where almost every man's got to decide for himself. That's maybe why we have to go back to individual kingdoms first and then build out and see where we can make alliances and agreement. But I'm looking at this thing, okay? You call it what you want. I'm looking at abortion. I'm looking at homosexual marriage. I'm looking at a gender bender stuff. I'm looking, you can go down, and this isn't just being allowed. This is being pushed. This is looking, okay, forced vaccination, taking care. This is being pushed by an elite. It's being pushed by the fascist corporatists that are taking over our economy.
Yep.
And we're all supposed to go, oh yeah, that's a legitimate use of their power. No, it's not. It's just not.
No, it's not.
And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I feel duty bound. This is where I think the Christian obligation gets more profound. I feel duty bound to oppose it. And so I am opposing.
And you know, yesterday, the 4th of May is the feast day of the English martyrs. Right, David?
Yeah, yeah.
So the English.
May the 4th be with you, right?
Yeah, may the 4th be with you. And why is that significant? Because they said that the treachery of the House of Tudor was illegitimate. You can't say that we can't have mass. You can't say that I can't be a priest. This is Christendom, for heaven's sake. You can't say that those people can't get the sacraments. And even though Bloody Bess did say that and did say she had the authority to do so, you know that St. Pius V is why this is all related, David, and Brother Andre and I will talk about this. St. Pius V excommunicated her. She didn't have authority. Not under God any longer, right?
Right. Well, so, you know, your example in the Congress about the Magna Carta, I have my own issues with the Magna Carta, but it's the same principle. So I think the one thing I wanted to add to your talk about the Magna Carta was this, that John was a usurper. Okay. So in other words, they had an illegitimate king. Now, I know he was the only one in the country. The other one had gone off on the Crusades and it came back later on that he died. But the point is that the reason the nobles had to act and to say, we're going to make you sign a document that protects our historical rights that everyone knew were legitimate and Christian and good and true and beautiful is because you're a usurping power who clearly is ignoring all of them. I think it always has to be interjected into the Magna Carta talk because it wasn't the lower governing the higher, the nobles governing the king. It was the nobles who were have legitimate authority telling a usurping king, think about modern day Mordor on the Potomac,
right?
A usurping king who was obliterating everyone's rights. And they said, now some people say, well, they still shouldn't have done it. And now it looks like we've got this whole idea of democracy starting where the authority comes from the bottom, and that's the reversal of reality, et cetera. So I know, I see all the technical mental problems and errors we might fall into, but let's face it, who else is going to tell King John to stop abusing the human race if it wasn't a lower legislative or magisterial person?
Hey, by the by, one of our attendees, David, pointed out to me, and he actually sent me something to read on it, that it was English, it was Archbishop Langdon, I think, who was the principal author of most of those things in the Magna Carta, who had told John, you're out of order. You're wrong. You need to stand down, King. You're wrong. And by the by, watch that movie with Paul Giamatti in it as John II, his son, and it's called Ironclad. And you'll see that the House of John, or King John, they kept trying to undo the Magna Carta. They kept trying to say, no,
we're going to come out on the right side of almost every question.
Respect all the things and the rights of Englishmen.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this, Mike. So as a guy who's been in media, and as a guy who I know and you know have, over time, your views kind of change, and maybe you believe this one year and next year you were here, and then one day you're let's just call it a new Republican, and next time you're Ron Paul, then all those times, and everybody's had these in their life where your views just kind of morph and change, and you go, what am I really, what do I fully and finally believe? Well, that can make you kind of unnerved, right? You might say, well, I don't even know if I know what the truth is. But ever since, and what I'm getting to is it happened in my own life, when you have scholastic philosophy and you have the view on which to interpret the universe, let me ask you, since 2012, have you ever doubted the truth of your assertions anymore? Or do you go, no, I know that I'm firmly in the camp of right, and I can see it, I can feel it, I can taste it, I want it. Whereas before, I think your political views might have vacillated. I think you're on sturdy ground. Would you disagree with that?
No, I would not. And the more that you, like Brother Andre said, you can explain the natural world around you with certitude. It's easy. It's not even difficult. It's not even hard. I can also explain the political world around me with certitude. Like I said, after I first got a little Philosophia Perennis, I could just read a headline and go, all right, bull blank. I didn't have to read the story and go, like, well, the headline's wrong. And some people are like, oh, what do you mean the headline? Well, the headline's wrong. It's got a flaw in it. It's got an error in it. No, I don't need to read the rest of the story.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this headline, since I know it'd be something you'd love to talk about. USA Today, Florida student accused of rigging homeschool queen vote could face 16-year sentence. So apparently, if you rig a homecoming queen vote, you get 16 years. If you rig the presidential election, you get the presidency.
That sounds like a Barrett brief. You got to be kidding me later on today. You got to be kidding me. So if you conspire to fix the election of the homecoming queen, you go to jail for 16 years. But if you conspire to fix the election of a U.S. president, you get the presidency. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Only in America, Mike. Only in America.
No, I already had three people private message me going, I want in on the David Simpson deal. How do I get a hold of him? Like, well, send him an email, dude. David@tffco.com.
Or TrueMoneyShow@CrusadeSound.com. And I have a list. I mean, I have a dozen people or so who have already told me they're in. And so we're rapidly going to approach 100, I think. So I'll start a second one if I have to, guys. I'm happy to do this. All I want this thing to do is to fund Crusader businesses. We're going to create enterprises. We're going to create profitability. It's going to be shared in community. I mean, we're going to try to do employee stock ownership plans, so everyone benefits. It's not just some guy who may have an idea and he gets a profit. We're going to try to share in profitability because we want owners and we want wide distribution of capital. all the things we talk about that we believe would make a more humane economy, we're going to build into this this thing and keep learning and growing and adjusting as we go forward in time. And I had to end my little talk with, hey, you got to trust me. And everybody laughed. You know, worst sales pitch of all time. But truly, at the end of the day, it's actually accurate that you have to trust me, you have to trust Mike, you have to trust brother. But you don't trust us because we're who we are. We know we have, we know our own immorality. We know where we failed. We know where we've not lived up to being trustworthy. But we've amended our lives. We go to confession. We've taken scholastic philosophy so we can be true, not just to ourselves, but to others and to reality. And that's the goal we're on now, is to create this, we always say it, the good, the true, and the beautiful. Why do we keep saying those lines? Because everyone knows, yeah, that's what I want. So anyway, that's what we're doing, and good. I'm glad people are interested. I'm sure I'll get your email. I haven't opened my email yet. When I open my email, I'll find yours, and I'll respond to everybody at one time and tell them where I am in the plan and how they get in touch with me.
All right. Sounds good. He is David Simpson. So if you want to, we have the video and the audio of all the presentations. I actually started scrubbing a little bit of it yesterday, and I can tell you that the video is really good. And the audio from it is good as well. So you will have access, if you can, to the Congress. If not, you'll be able to help offset the cost of hosting the streaming. You'll be able to purchase access to it. You'll be able to see the talk, and then you can understand better the plan that David was laying out of how, look, there's got to be a way to get around the banksters and the user and the usurers and what they're doing, but to be able to fund parts of the new Christendom that are going to need some capital investment, capital formation. Capital is not a bad word. You kept going back to saying Dan Mundy said that building a farm and then building up the ability to raise livestock requires some capital investment. It can be expensive. Okay, let's acknowledge that. Let's not run from it. We need to change it. Well, you're probably not going to be able to change it. So instead of running away from it, let's figure out a way together to do it without usury, without sin, and without padding the pockets of the bad guys. This is a pretty simple proposition, I think.
I need you to be my publicist. You said it better than me.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. So, all right, I'll take that as a parting shot. And thanks for being part of the Congress and everything else that you and your family do. The True Money Show will return live next Wednesday here on the Crusade Channel. And I'm sure I will talk to you twixt now and then. God bless you, brother.
Hey, man, God bless you, Mike. I love you, brother.
I love you too, man. Hey, and that's also okay, you people. It is okay to tell men that you love them. It does not mean you're a sodomite. It is okay for Mr. Barrett or anyone else to go like, hey, that Jared McKayle guy, that guy is a stud. Of course, all the women were thinking the same thing, too. If you didn't come to the event, then you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. All right.